Hello, and welcome to the Live Retail Online Integration Webinar, Strategies for Turning Customer Feedback into Sales, sponsored by Bazaar Voice, a network that connects brands and retailers to the authentic voices of people where they shop. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's event. Here today to discuss how brands can leverage user-generated content and feedback, such as ratings and reviews, social media posts, blog comments, and more as sales drivers are Rachel Sharif, partner, client success at Bazaar Voice, and Marcus Fong, brand manager, digital communications for Nestle Purina North America, the pet food division of Swiss-based Nestle. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video we played leading up to the webinar, you can always click on this widget for more information. So without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to Rachel Sharif to get us started.
Thanks, Joe, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for spending a little bit of your afternoon with us today. As Joe mentioned, Bazaar Voice is a platform that helps facilitate and drive consumer feedback to brands and retailers. And I thought before we dive into the content, let's level set on the real value we know that word-of-mouth content can deliver to a brand or retailer. So Bazaar Voice has done A-B test after A-B test. We have a lot of analytics tools. We've worked on a lot of case studies with our client to really understand what is the value that word-of-mouth content brings to an organization. And what we've seen is everything from an increase in engagement on site to conversion lift to consumer lifetime value. So if you look below, you'll see some of the numbers that we've been able to pull from some of this analysis. So you can see here that we've seen upwards of a 4% conversion lift when a brand starts collecting and presenting word-of-mouth feedback on products. We've seen an increase of 2 times the consumer lifetime value to a brand or to a retailer. Obviously, we can depend on a huge lift in page views per month, as well as a 26% increase year over year in retailer review volume. So that's when our content or a brand's content that they're collecting on their brand site, they're actually pushing that into the retailer environment. So obviously what the brand is going to see is much more word of mouth content sitting at the point of purchase. Marcus, I'm going to quickly ask you, you know, as my co-presenter, I know that you guys are leveraging word of mouth on your site and in your campaigns. What have you guys seen as far as lift and engagement?
Yeah, similar to these numbers, I think we've seen some pretty positive results. I think especially in terms of an increase in site engagement. But for us, I think there's a lot of benefit from the instant level of credibility that you get from consumer word of mouth.
Excellent. That's great. So I'm going to go on to my next slide because this is the part that I really tend to geek out about. One of my favorite things about a brand getting this really rich content are the insights that they can get from their consumers. So I come from a background of traditional agency work, and you know, we spent months putting together focus groups and getting the analysis of those focus groups. And the great thing about getting, you know, ongoing consumer feedback on your product or on your brand is you can think of it as a 24/7 focus group. So a brand or retailer can get really great insights from anything to maybe how is a product performing? Is your marketing campaign setting the right expectations to your consumers? Are they seeing product flaws? Are they having issues with how they purchase the product on your site? And it can really provide some really great information that can lead to changes in a product that might actually increase sales. It can lead to tweaks in your marketing campaign message that can, you know, drive further purchase. So what I really enjoy is thinking outside of just the user experience on the site and actually what is the great content that you can get or the great insights you can get from all of this content.
Yeah, Rachel, just to add to that, you know, we totally agree. One of the things that we like a lot about the platform is from the reviews, a lot of times we'll see statements like, I wish or I like, where consumers are talking about their preferences or things that they would conceivably wish for or want in your product or brand. Very, very handy for us to be able to see that sort of language. So we've started to train some of our response staff to look for those type of statements.
That's great. You know, one of the things that I've found in working with clients is even though somebody gives a product or a four-star or five-star review, there often are those, in what we call them pivot words, like, I really love this product, but, or, you know, this product was great, but I wish it had this. And so what we often tell our clients is every piece of content is valuable, and you would be surprised at what you might think is just a glowing review could have some really great recommendations for the brand or the retailer. Okay, so let's dive into how can you really start using this content to drive sales. So a lot of times when I work with clients, they really think of ratings and reviews or any type of consumer feedback application that sits on their site as really a driver for better user experience. Maybe it's become a commodity because consumers really expect it. But because we know how valuable, you know, the true impact of this content, what we encourage our clients is, you know, think about word of mouth as an actual program. And we know that you have to feed the program to get something out of it. So we tend to break it up into four main segments. So first of all, ask. You need to ask your consumers what do they think? You want to get that feedback from them. We have some tried and true best practices that I'll go over in a second, but a few of them would include, you know, where can you have a consistent ask on your homepage so that consumers even know that this platform is available to them or that you actually are reading this content? How can you leverage your social networks, so Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, to ask advocates that have already opted into engaging with the brand? Second is amplify. So, hey, you're collecting some pretty great content where consumers are saying that they love your product. Why not amplify that across all of your different marketing touch points? So, you know, word of mouth doesn't have to live in digital. Where can you amplify the content in print, in store, in media, et cetera? So make sure that if you're getting the great content, use it. Third is absorb the content. So this is where I talked about the great insights that a brand or retailer can get from their word of mouth content. So start reading through your ratings and reviews. Think about all the different divisions that could benefit. So we have a client that actually pipes this content straight to their R&D organization because this actually helps them think about where they need to make tweaks or where they can maybe innovate based on customer need. Maybe build some check-ins internally or work with, you know, if you're a partner of Bazaar Voice or you're getting content, you know, word-of-mouth content through other social communities, think about where you can include check-ins or readouts with your partners to make sure that everyone is taking a look at this content and figuring out where in the organization would it make an impact. And then finally, take action. So again, build a relationship with your consumers. Let them know that you're looking at this content. Maybe respond to a question that they may have in a rating and review saying, hey, we're sorry that you didn't enjoy your experience with this product, or thanks for the great feedback. Maybe think about where this content can help facilitate a change in your organization or in your products. And then finally, consider using that consumer voice in those new and improved products. So a great example would be, hey, we heard you and we have changed, you know, X, Y, and Z on the product. Let them know that this new innovation was driven by you listening to their voice. So I'm going to turn it over to Marcus, who has a really great example of how Purina has used word of mouth in a more programmatic way in a specific campaign. So, Marcus, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate it. And thanks again to the Bazaar Voice team for inviting me to come speak to you for a little bit. Today, I'm going to be talking to everyone about fat dogs. So this is our case and how we've used word of mouth and ratings and reviews, starting with the key issue here. One of the things that we noticed was that dog obesity was an issue that was kind of gripping the United States. About 53% of dogs in the United States are classified as being overweight or obese. but only 9% of consumers were actually using some kind of a weight management formula. Obviously, with any case of obesity, either human or canine, that's going to lead to severe health problems later on in life. So for us, what we were planning to do was launch a new product into the category, a weight management product for us, utilizing a new proprietary type of manufacturing technique to offer a weight management product that was not only for weight management, but also offered full taste satisfaction as well. For us, obviously, like any new product, we knew there were going to be challenges. Above all else, we wanted to try to drive trial for the product. But two things were standing in our way. One was obviously low awareness of the product when it launches. The Dog Chow trademark is pretty well known, but awareness for some of our range of products is limited, especially when we talk about a new product like Light and Healthy. Two, we were really trying to address credibility for the product and the brand. We felt that we had a very strong value proposition for the product. For among weight management products, it definitely did deliver against both being able to manage weight and taste as well. And two, for the brand, we have a long history of innovation, but it isn't something that necessarily consumers give us a lot of credit for. So for us, the solution was about creating an integrated campaign behind the launch of Light and Healthy that was big enough for us to be able to gain awareness for that as a line extension of the Dog Chow trademark, and also try to utilize what we could of consumer opinion and voice to try to drive credibility as quickly as possible. Lee, I'm going to turn it
Great.
Over to you.
Yeah, and so I'm going to interrupt Marcus's story, which is not finished, to quickly talk about how do you integrate word of mouth or integrate a platform such as Bazaar Voice into your existing marketing plan. So one of the first things I tell my clients is, you know, don't worry, we're not trying to create a whole additional plan just centered around ratings and reviews. Rather, what we found is that getting word of mouth content and thinking about it more in a programmatic way can actually fit in and align really nicely with your existing marketing plan. Really, it's where do you think about those calls to action that can be tweaked to actually get your consumers or your advocates to give you feedback, or where in your marketing communication strategies or your content strategy can you maybe include a great quote from a consumer or an average star rating. Or what we're starting to see a lot more of are social claims or social statements. Those can actually make your message, your brand message, even stronger because it's getting the backing of your consumers against it. So what we suggest is look at your existing marketing plan and think about ways that the call to action can be tweaked, that the maybe the creative can be slightly tweaked to include that quote, and help make them align into an annual word of mouth plan. We often sit with not only the marketing managers, but also the agencies, and we sit and plan together so that, again, that marketing plan isn't completely centered just around word of mouth. It's just a small tweak, and it's aligning with the four different aspects of our program. And I think that you guys did a really nice job of that, Marcus, when you jump into the rest of your case study. Any thoughts there around how you guys built this into maybe the existing plan for your brand?
I think it all revolves around the credibility aspect. We knew that with media support, we'd be able to get awareness, but really, especially for a new product, knowing our brand and our consumer, getting that credibility behind the product was very vital to driving trial.
Great. And I wanted to show an existing example, or another example rather. This is Magnum Ice Cream. And what we found is that they just did a really good job of having a consistent message, leveraging word of mouth or leveraging their average star rating across all of their consumer touch points. So I'm not sure if you guys can see this very clearly, but you can see on their homepage, down at the bottom right, they have a great quote as well as an average star rating. Their email included consistent calls to action to give feedback as well as highlighting some great quotes. They were constantly asking their Facebook advocates to provide feedback, and they even integrated within Twitter, providing a link straight to their ratings and reviews section of the site. All in all, they collected 713 reviews in just an initial campaign, and that turned into over 15,000 reviews being pushed out into the retailers, and that's where actually their consumers can purchase the products. So you can see that, you know, if you make it a consistent part of your content marketing strategy across all consumer touch points, it provides a much more integrated campaign. And we all know that a lot of brands and a lot of us as marketers are focused on the omnichannel experience. And I think that Magnum did just a really great job of pushing that consumer feedback and that positive word of mouth about their products across all of those touch points. So let's jump into some tried and true best practices against that program. And then between each of those different phases that I went over earlier, we'll have Marcus give a little color around what Purina did to drive their campaign. So first, we're going to start with ask. So remember, that's where you're reaching out to your advocates to provide word of mouth. So we found if you just let your ratings and reviews platform sit silent and not touched, you might get a lot of what we call ranting and raving. So those are the folks who are really using ratings and reviews as a secondary means of customer support. And so you're going to get some people that are just, you know, crazy about the product and they love it, but you're also going to get a lot of people that really have a bone to pick with you. So what we recommend is reach out to your advocates. Reach out to the folks who have liked you on Facebook or who have signed up to be part of your site community. That's where you're going to get some real positive word of mouth, and you're going to get folks who are already engaged and fans of your brands, or maybe they're regular shoppers on your site. And they're not only going to likely give some pretty positive reviews, but they're actually going to spend some time in the feedback that they give you. So here is what we would call a recommended plan. We divide it up into two areas, evergreen and targeted. And we think that this is a nice way to think about your program when it comes to asking for content. So evergreen, those are the things that are going to just happen all the time. So if you have a post-interaction email or a post-purchase email, why not ask those folks who've recently purchased your product or shopped on your site to provide feedback? Maybe it's a consistent real estate on your CRM, on your email, that is always going to have, you know, give us feedback or let us know what you think. Or maybe you're going to build it into your social media content strategy so that once a month or maybe even once a week, you're asking your consumers for feedback on different products. Maybe it's a product or a category that you know needs some love. You can focus on those and really ask those consumers to give feedback. So that's what we would call evergreen. So those are the things that are just built into your marketing communications plan. On the right, those are our targeted tactics. And that's where you're going to see a nice healthy spike in volume. So you can see below the little examples there. This is a snapshot from our dashboard. On the evergreen, you can see the content is just kind of a slow and steady stream of content. But on the right, you see a huge spike. So this is where our clients are actually running some sort of campaign that's focused on getting this content. So everything from an incentive or a sweepstakes. So maybe it's leave a review and get a high-value coupon, or leave a review and get a sample. Leave a review and get highlighted on our Facebook page. It doesn't always have to be a monetary reward. It can also be something that just really highlights one of your top advocates. We all know that social media is a great place for vanity, and people love to get called out by their favorite brands and are very motivated by potentially being highlighted as a top shopper or a top brand advocate. Another tactic that we would recommend is an email blast that's solely dedicated to a review's call to action. So maybe it's something like, a holiday message around provide feedback on our top holiday products, or maybe it is an email around a certain product that you've just launched. But we found that an email blast with a dedicated review's call to action can drive a ton of volume. We also recommend sampling. So sampling is an area that can be really useful for a brand that's about to launch a product. Not only can you get some early feedback on that product so that the day that it launches, you already have some positive word of mouth against it, but it also can help you understand how's the market going to receive that product. Are there any issues that maybe didn't test out in the initial focus group? Sampling programs are a great way to launch a product, but also get feedback on, you know, a singular product versus leaving your consumers to rate and review across your whole product category. I mean, your product catalog, excuse me. Also, live events. So this is something that we've seen a lot of uptick in, where clients are either doing sampling in store, or maybe you're a brand that has some sort of show or conference. You can actually have people provide feedback on a tablet environment, and push it live once the event is over. It's a great place to really talk to someone individually through either a sales rep, and have them, ask the person to give feedback on the product when the product is in that consumer's hand. And then finally, integrate it with larger brand campaigns, which is what we're going to see more of from Marcus. So hopefully you can look at these two areas for getting content and think about places in your own marketing program that you can build in these different tactics. And, of course, I'm going to show just a couple of examples. So here you're going to see some Ask Evergreen tactics. So you can see this is Neutrogena's post-interaction email. This is where, after someone has purchased on their site, they do have e-commerce on their brand site. It's actually reaching out to that consumer and saying, hey, we noticed you purchased these three products. Please give us feedback. This happens once it's set up. It happens every single time somebody makes a purchase. So they're getting a constant stream of volume just from post-interaction email. It's actually our number one recommendation for content driving. We've seen brands get 80% of their ratings and reviews just from a post-interaction email. Here's Estee Lauder's CRM, so you can see they have an email that's dedicated to writing a review. We don't think every email has to be dedicated to just ratings and reviews, but it can be a great thing to include maybe in one part of the template, but a real driver for getting content, because those are folks who have already opted in to engaging with you via email. And then finally, on the right here, you can see Origins has a Facebook post in which they're asking for reviews on this new product. And then one quick example here on a targeted tactic. So again, those are those larger campaigns. Those are the sampling or the sweeps. This is Kiehl's, and they really do a great campaign every year in which they ask their consumers to provide a rating for their top favorite product, and then at the end of this campaign, they do a big campaign around the top 10 highest rated products. If you ever go into a Kiehl store, you'll see on the wall they've merchandised one part of the store based on their top 10 favorite products. So at the end, I think they give away a year's worth of that product to one special winner. So you can see where they've gotten a ton of engagement. And what's also great is that it ensures that they're going to get reviews across a lot of the product catalog, because everybody has a different favorite. All right, Marcus, I'm going to turn it to you to talk about your campaign.
Okay. Going back to this case again, as we were talking about earlier, we were trying to drive trial, knowing that some of our challenges were going to be around awareness and credibility. So we really were looking at things in terms of a continuous cycle. There were three steps to it. Really, one was about generating early buzz pre-launch, to Rachel's point about trying to do that through sampling. And I'll go through that details in just a moment. But we really wanted to try to build critical consumer word-of-mouth mass pre-launch with a sampling program, support that with key awareness with our integrated media plan, hopefully leading to trial and driving more trial. And from there, that trial would hopefully lead to additional reviews, which would feed back into the cycle. This is just a quick picture of the sample kits that we sent out pre-launch, of which we did quite a bit of. The real intent here was trying to capture, as I said, as much of that authentic consumer opinion and word of mouth as possible. In the sampling kit, there were products to use. There was sample product to pass out. There were small gifts as well as a personal letter from us to the early adopters that were in the sampling program with a very clear call to action to help us out with a review. If you can see in this slide, I just wanted to point out some of the individuals that we were targeting with this large sampling program. So obviously there were online influencers that we were looking for, our circle of bloggers, influentials, social influencers, obviously trying to gain some additional reach through their audiences, as well as we had a retail intercept non-targeted approach as well to distributing some of our sample kits also. Again, the one clear to action here was try our product, share your experience, write us a review to get that authentic voice.
Great. Thanks, Marcus. So I'm again going to interrupt his story, but just know it's not over yet. To talk about the second part of our word of mouth program, and that's Amplify. So you've been asking your consumers to give feedback. You've gotten a ton of great feedback. Maybe you've gotten some feedback that's not so great. That's okay. We say embrace the good with the bad because you can learn a lot from the bad. And also it just makes the platform more authentic. Nobody who goes onto your site and sees 100% five-star ratings is really going to believe that, you know, 100% of your consumers had nothing but positive things to say about the brand. So definitely don't shy away or get nervous about negative reviews. We say embrace them. All right, so let's talk about Amplify. This is where you start using your content across all of your marketing communications. Here I'm going to start with some tried and true best practices, just like I did with Ask. So first of all, where are the different places that you can use word of mouth? We say everywhere. It can live on and offline as well as in the brick and mortar or retail store. So let's talk about this always on amplification, just like we have evergreen tactics for getting word of mouth. So first of all, retail syndication. If you're a brand and you have products in retail, so think Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Macy's, Nordstrom, take the positive word of mouth that you're collecting from your brand advocates and push it to the retailers through syndication, which is one of the products that Bazaar Voice offers. We know that a retailer does not have as much luck getting a large volume of reviews against a single SKU in their huge, you know, product catalog. As they can't do it as well as a brand can. So that's why we make it easy for a brand to push that content into the retail environment. Second is mobile integration. Make sure that this content can be read easily on a mobile platform. We know that a lot of folks go into a store and they may need to do a little bit more research before they finally make the purchase. Having that content very easily accessible via a mobile platform is really going to help drive that purchase at store when someone's doing that last bit of research. Facebook publishing. So again, Facebook is a great place to not only ask for reviews, but push out really positive reviews that you're getting. Let people know that a new product is doing really well and that folks love it. And then finally, SEO optimization. So I'm no expert on SEO, but I do know that having fresh and authentic content that's, you know, similar to how someone would actually naturally search for a product or talk about a product is only going to help boost your search rankings. That's one of the probably some of my clients' favorite things about our platform is that we make sure that this content gets indexed by the search engine so that you're going to get a natural boost from this constantly, updating fresh content. For some of our brands, ratings and reviews is probably the only part of the site that gets updated with any regularity. So it definitely helps from an SEO standpoint. On the right, these are the one-time tactics. So again, think about this as more of the larger campaign. So maybe you have a campaign based on one really great piece of consumer feedback, or maybe there's a social statement that you're able to use to really drive messaging around, you know, a specific new product or a campaign. Think about where in broadcast media you can use review content. We've actually had clients who have had voiceover in a television ad of quotes that they've gotten from ratings and reviews, and they've seen that perform better than one of their traditional ads just using, you know, more stats and efficacy statements. And then finally, shopper marketing with review content. Have that content live at shelf when someone's actually going in to make the purchase. So you can see at the bottom, this is Greenworks. They actually had a neck hanger that had their average star rating as well as a really great quote from one of their consumers. We've seen a huge lift in FFI redemption using word of mouth as part of the creative. I've had clients who've seen upwards of 14 to 20% increase in redemption rate when they add word of mouth to an FFI or a digital coupon. And here's some more examples. So really what I wanted to show here is all the different places that you can use word of mouth really effectively in your marketing message. So everything from social. This is actually one of my favorite posts. You can tell that I specialized in health and beauty because I have a lot of those examples. But this is Clinique where they said, this stuff is the balm. There's nothing more that I love than when a brand can find a really punchy statement like that that's a direct quote from a consumer. On the bottom here, you can see print ads. So all of these, I have some stats tied to each of these based on analysis through A-B testing that we've done with our clients. So, again, going back up to the Clinique version, we saw an increase, a 78% increase in the Buy Now button that's being plugged in through Facebook whenever they're using quotes like this in their social posts. We've seen in ads, digital ads, a 35% increase in click-through rate when word of mouth is added to the creative. Here's an email example. So this is Lancome's top-rated products. They actually experienced 193% increase in click-through when promoting their top, consumers' favorite products. And then also on site, so making sure that you're providing this feedback everywhere from a huge call out on your homepage to category pages, just throughout the site, letting people know that this feedback is there. And we've seen an increase of 79%+ increase in conversion rate on the site, whether it's purchase or maybe conversion through a buy now button. All right, Marcus, back to you.
All right. So going back to the case again, now that we were capturing consumer opinions and word of mouth with our sampling program, we decided to move forward with our integrated media campaign launch in the second half of 2013. We supported it with a heavy mix of print and TV to drive that awareness, and we started to seed the reviews that we were getting throughout our owned product page experiences. One of the things that we were focused on with our print and media buys was to try to redirect people to the website to get them to learn more about the product. Obviously, that was a great opportunity for us to start seeding in some of those reviews.
All right, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because probably Marcus's, the rest of his case study is the best example of how a brand has absorbed their word-of-mouth feedback. But really quickly, just remember, going back to the program, there's four steps. And the last one, the third one is absorb. And that's really where you're looking and taking in that content and that feedback and thinking about what parts of the organization are going to benefit from hearing that customer feedback. So, Marcus, I'm going to quickly turn it back over to you to talk about what you guys found out.
All right. So as marketers, we're always looking for good consumer insights to guide creative direction. And what we were noticing from our research was it actually being validated through some of the reviews that we were seeing was that our consumers felt a lot of guilt about weight management formulas. They liked the product benefits of a leaner product, but they felt guilty about the lack of taste enjoyment that they were seeing for their pets in this product type in this category. So one of the positive learnings that we received from the reviews and our research as well was reinforcing how our product performed against that feeling of guilt and that consumer insight that we had. The majority of the reviews were extremely positive, and there was a recurring theme of how much the dogs really enjoyed the light and healthy product. For us, this was a pretty big win. It was a clear product differentiation that addressed this core consumer insight of guilt. So with these consumer insights that we had, it helped us to adjust and refine overall creative direction for the platform into nutrition without sacrifice. So beginning in the top of 2014, we moved forward with additional media support embracing this key creative message. Light and healthy nutrition dogs need and the great taste that he loves. The next few slides just give you a quick indication of what we started to do with this new creative direction in terms of no sacrifice for taste and weight management. This is an example in print. This is also another example in print that you'll see where we also call out the close-up shot of the product. This next slide is kind of interesting. One of the added elements that we put into the phase three, which was the beginning of this year and moving forward, was we wanted to integrate more of the user review language across the various touch points. As I talked about earlier, obviously building credibility was very important to us, and these consumer sound bites that we were getting through the Raise reviews were very handy for us to be able to quickly communicate that. You know, as a brand, I think a lot of times, we often ask, why would we say it ourselves when consumers are already saying it for us and in a much more credible voice? So definitely very, very handy for us.
Yeah, Marcus, we always say your consumers can be your best copywriters, right?
That's a great point. And then if you look at this next slide, it just showcases some of the other areas in which we were able to take advantage of the consumer voice and word of mouth. We started to display it across not only in print and on digital, but also in our FSI pieces, retail call-outs as well, where you can clearly see these sound bites that came directly from the review.
Thanks, Marcus. And I can tell you that your case study is one of our favorites, and we definitely get excited when we see our clients being creative about all the different places that they can use word of mouth. And even maybe they're not always putting a direct quote, but they're taking an insight, just like Purina did, from, you know, the feedback that they're getting that, hey, maybe we can tweak our message a little bit. Maybe we're finding that one unique quality about our product or our brand that we can surface that we didn't maybe know about before. So I think that the way that you guys maybe tweak this campaign and then all the outcomes of the campaign were really creative and really exciting, and we love it. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to finish with the final step in our program, which is action. And you can see that Purina did just that. They actually took action on the feedback that they got from their consumers. So, again, it's where do you maybe take action from an R&D standpoint? Maybe it's tweaking your marketing messaging. Maybe it's something to do with the way that consumers find that they can shop on your site. Maybe you need to change something in the UX of your site to help people convert more. And provide a better experience from them. It's amazing all the different feedback that your clients are willing to give you if you just listen.
Yeah, and for us, obviously, you know, it's been great to have this partnership with Bizarre Voice to be able to get these word-of-mouth pieces and opinions from consumers. We've been really fortunate with Light and Healthy, the product, to see a really substantial amount of growth behind it. For us, ratings and reviews in general is a strong part of our support plan. We do consider it to be a cornerstone of the own site product experience that we have under dogchow.com. You know, we consider it to be a critical call to action across a lot of our social media display and even CRM. As Rachel was talking about before, you know, we do send out a fair amount of emails that ask for that call to action as a rating review. It's very handy for us to be able to gather those opinions, not only for use as future content for us, but also as a way to kind of gather a pulse of what consumers' thoughts and insights are. So overall, just to recap some of the core benefits for us that we've noticed is we've been able to see that it can reinforce some good consumer insights. You know, it's language that's coming directly from the consumer's mouth. To get access to that in a very quick amount of time is always very handy. Being able to utilize that consumer voice as an additional media channel, it's great, obviously, as word of mouth for consumers talking to consumers, but, you know, across the digital landscape, across your own platforms, definitely very handy. And then the last is being able to use that word of mouth to gain that crucial credibility that we were talking about among word of mouth sources. Not only can you get credibility from kind of having your average consumers speaking on your behalf or just writing about what they thought about the product, but in our case, you know, from the sampling program, we were able to get a lot of solid language from a lot of the influencers that had scale for us as well that were speaking on our behalf. So definitely very, very interesting, and I'm glad that you were able to bring us on board to talk about it. Thank you.
Excellent. And I'm also going to wrap up my portion of the presentation here by just stating a simple truth. You know, Bizarre Voice, our platform, was built and is based on one truth. It's that when people talk to each other, people buy stuff. And they do that because they trust the opinions of others more than they trust any other source of information about a product. What we do is just help people decide what to do with their money. Where do they want to purchase? What brands do they want to develop a relationship with? And we help our brands develop that relationship with their consumers. And you know, what we found is that whether it's through pushing content to the retailer, allowing ratings and reviews and word of mouth to be consumed in store, whether it's through shopper marketing executions or maybe you know, being able to read it on your mobile device, that in all of those different touch points in the consumer decision journey, if you have that consistent message and that feedback from other shoppers like them, that they're more likely to purchase, which will drive more sales for you as a brand or a retailer. So, Joe, that wraps up our presentation. We'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thanks, Rachel, and thanks, Marcus, as well. Some great insights here. We have some time for some questions, so I just want to remind everyone in the audience that you can submit your questions to Marcus and Rachel via your console. We do have some here to get started, so I'll jump into the questions. My first question here is in regards to sort of where is the audience member wants to know about the ethical sort of line of responding to a review between thanking them for reviewing their product versus sort of pushing another sale or cross-sale, upsell on them. So do you guys have any thoughts on best practices around sort of thanking people who review your products versus sort of making that as another sales opportunity?
So this is right. I'd be happy to jump in here with what I often consult with my clients about is, you know, I think that if someone maybe isn't using a product correctly, or maybe if their expectations haven't been set correctly and there is another product that would help them achieve what they're trying to do, then I think that might be an appropriate place to maybe mention another product. But if they're saying, thank you, I love this product, then you know, thank them back, and I don't think that that's necessarily the place to push a sale for another. Again, I think it's where you maybe change behavior because the product isn't right for them or they're using it incorrectly would be the one opportunity. But other than that, you really want to use responding to reviews as a means for letting consumers know that you appreciate the feedback and that you're reading and consuming that feedback.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Rachel. I think that, you know, if you get a consumer to speak like that and in a very positive way, obviously you want to be able to thank them as much as you can. But I don't think that it's an opportunity really for a sales message necessarily. At that point when they've written a review for you, they've obviously tried the product. I think to me it's more about trying to establish more of a relationship with them to foster ongoing loyalty.
Okay, great. We have another question sort of in the same line here. What are your guys' thoughts on requesting a review in exchange for some sort of prize or incentive? The audience member, you know, questions, does that seem like a company is paying for a review or an answer? Your guys' thoughts on that?
Sure. So I'll jump in, and then Marcus, I'm sure that you guys have some thoughts around this, especially because you did, you know, give product for a review. There's two areas to think about this. Number one is be transparent. We require that if someone does run a campaign or provides free product for a review, that you make that clear on the review. So we have badging that says, that can say, you know, consumer received a free sample, or a text badge that says consumer, you know, this review was entered during a product sweepstakes. So we feel that if you're transparent, that consumers are okay when someone has received something for a review. And what we found is that just because someone's received free product or maybe some sort of small incentive, that they're not always going to be, you know, five-star reviews. That if they are true advocates and shoppers of your product or your, you know, your store, that they're going to give, you know, pretty solid feedback. The second thing is you don't want to give away a free trip to Disneyland to write a review. What you offer needs to be in line with the action. So where we've seen some great success and what I think is reasonable and also really authentic is if you're giving away maybe a trial size or a sample or something that's around the same price point as your product. So for an example, I had a client who gave away, because their audience tended to be on the younger side, so between the ages of like 18 and 25 was their core audience, they had about an $8 to $10 product. They gave a $10 iTunes, you know, free song download. So again, if the prize is in line with the action and in line with your price point, we think that that's okay. You don't want to give away, you know, a house, because that's when you're going to get a lot of spammers. We've actually had a client do it extremely well with review content, just giving away a dollar coupon on a product. You'd be amazed what people, you know, are willing to do just even for a small little incentive to provide that feedback. Marcus, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so Rachel, I agree as well. You know, in our case, obviously, this one we just reviewed, you know, we gave away a lot of sample product. I think that, you know, when you give away product, especially in terms of in lieu of a new product launch, consumers kind of do see that, you know, as like us trying to gain that first momentum behind it so that we can start to get some opinions. And I think that, you know, they responded very positively because of that. It didn't seem like they were necessarily getting compensated for their voice. It really was about us trying to see what they thought of the product. And that was basically for the launch. You know, I think that, you know, along the lines of what Rachel was talking about in terms of compensation for ratings or reviews and that appearing to be somewhat disingenuous, I think there's different ways that you can actually incentivize the capture of ratings and reviews that even doesn't require any kind of monetary or product-based compensation. We've seen some positive results just on social messaging where we basically have a call to action to all dog parents out there saying, you know, if you feel strongly about this product and you think it's good, then, you know, maybe you should write a little note to us in terms of a review so that other dog parents can benefit from your experiences.
Okay, great. Another question here. Do you guys suggest hiding or not publishing 1 or 2 star reviews? This audience member is particularly for a small business when the expectations of those 1 or 2 star reviews may not have been warranted?
Absolutely not. So I think, again, you've got to be transparent as a brand, and you've got to take the good with the bad. If you're going to engage in word of mouth and ratings and reviews and consumer feedback, you are opening yourself up to get some negative reviews. And that's why, you know, if you think about it in this more programmatic approach and think about who are the folks that I can reach out to that are advocates of my product or my service, because you know that you're more likely going to get some positive ratings and reviews from those folks. But no, if you open up your brand and your site to getting this feedback, you've got to show even the 1 and 2 star reviews. And you know, one thing that I've found through all the data that we have here at Bazaar Voice is that negative reviews actually products with negative reviews actually have more conversion than products with no reviews at all. It's a really interesting stat, and I think one of the reasons for this is sometimes when somebody reads, you know, they're pretty set on this product, the feeds and speeds of that product is what this consumer is looking for, but say it has 1 negative review, and the negative review, the complaint that that consumer has actually doesn't meet the needs or doesn't, you know, really conflict with that, you know, what the consumer is really looking for in a product, then they're going to say, hey, if this is the 1 complaint that this person has and it doesn't bother me, then I'm going to purchase this product anyway because it must be, you know, pretty good otherwise. Think about that. You know, I always use hotel rooms as an example. You know, I travel to New York a lot, and I used to live in New York, and I know that hotels in New York, the rooms are just going to be small. So if I see a few really negative reviews, and the only thing that they have to say is that the room was too small, that, hey, the service was great, the room was clean, the location was great, I'm going to say, you know what, that's New York, and I'm probably going to go ahead and reserve a room anyway. So think about negative reviews as not always a bad thing, and better than having no reviews at all. Marcus, what are your thoughts about negative reviews?
So I agree. I think transparency is the key. I think one of the things, you know, as responsible brand marketers, we're always concerned, like, if we open things up to the consumers, what kind of crazy things are they going to say? I can say, you know, from our experience, it's not as crazy or as negative as you would think it is. Obviously, if something is inflammatory or offensive, then we would take that down. But, you know, if they're being responsible and they're giving their honest opinion, which is, you know, not a very favorable one, I actually look at it as a good opportunity for us to be able to change that mindset. You know, we have built in systems so that we'll be able to respond to consumers. I think that anybody who's going to take the time to, you know, rate you and give you an honest opinion is obviously going to be open to potentially you responding back. And I think, you know, especially when you look at our own site and how we respond to messages, you can obviously see the negative comments with the positive reviews, but we always do respond to the negative reviews and try to offer some kind of explanation or a way to try to tell that consumer why it is that we can make good on that negative experience or answer any of their questions.
Great. And one thing I probably should have mentioned from the get-go is that when you use a provider like Bazaar Voice, you know, one of our, you know, biggest differentiators in this space is that we moderate every piece of content. So as long as a review is not saying anything, just like Marcus said, inflammatory, or maybe the review has nothing to do with the product and this person just has beef with you as a brand, then we follow a set of guidelines set up by you as a brand or as a retailer that will denote whether a review should be rejected or not because of, you know, bad language or inflammatory content. So that's one area you don't have to worry about. But if somebody just really maybe didn't enjoy the product or found a flaw, then again, that's where you need to be transparent and do exactly what Marcus said, which is one of our top best practices is respond to reviews, change that mindset, maybe reset their expectations or let them know how maybe they're not using the product correctly.
Next question here we have is in regards to if a customer review is left on a retail site, does that retailer own their review, or can the manufacturer of the product have the ability to use that review via their social media channels?
Great question. So actually, that review does belong to the retailer. It's been entered in through their site and in their ratings and review platform, so it is their property. But the good news is that if you're a brand and you are getting great review content, you own all that content as long as it's being submitted on your site, rights and royalty free. And one area that I always try to remind my clients is you can also collect videos and photos using ratings or reviews, and you own that content as well. So think about how hard it is to get user photos without having to go through tons of permissions loops and legal loops to use those photos. Well, we have in our terms and conditions language that says, hey, if you're going to submit this review and this photo, then you're giving it to the brand rights and royalty free. So just another reason why you should really try to drive ratings and reviews through your own brand site.
Okay. Another question sort of in that same vein, is it necessary to share the client's name from a review or a customer's name when quoting them maybe in an ad such as a testimonial?
You know, it's not necessary, and, you know, we've definitely seen where folks aren't including that username, but what we found is that when you use a user nickname, and remember, we never collect real names just because of PII, we always require that a reviewer submit a nickname, and what we found is when you include that nickname and maybe their location, it just makes the review more authentic, that it really did come from a person behind that quote. So while you don't have to use it, it's by no means a legal requirement. We say it's a best practice just from like a creative standpoint. Marcus, you guys used the user nickname in your version, I believe, correct?
Yeah, we did. You know, for some individuals that were on our CRM database, we could use a first name as well, but typically it was the username.
Okay. This audience member wants to know about any tips or tactics around encouraging people to write more positive reviews, anything you can do to sort of elicit those more positive reviews for your product pages?
Sure. So I always say to tie in an emotional message or an emotional experience with your products when you have that rating and review. So maybe it's seasonality, maybe it's based on a certain behavior. But if all you're saying is rate and review our products and that's your call to action, it's a little boring if you ask me, and I think it's really not going to motivate somebody. But if you say, tell us about your favorite holiday gift experience with, you know, our products, or tell us how this product made you feel more confident, or tell us how this product really changed the way you perform in your job, or really changed the look of your home, then people can tie in an emotional feeling to that product, and they're more likely going to give a positive review. So just, you know, get creative with those call to actions, make them about experience and emotion, and you'll see that it tends to be more positive, and you'll probably get more reviews.
Yeah,
like Marcus, I love how you guys, the puppy or the dog parent, I think that that's great because you're tying into kind of that bond that folks feel with their pets.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that just to add on to that, I we've been very fortunate to get a lot of positive reviews of our product and brands. But again, I think that for the most part, if you stand by your product and you ask for this call to action, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by the amount of positive responses that you would conceivably get. I think that a lot of people that would speak on your behalf are typically going to be individuals who enjoy the product or have some degree of affinity towards your brand. So, trying to actively solicit for positive reviews is I think something to keep in mind, but I think it can be somewhat challenging to try to do authentically.
Okay. This one here might be good for you, Rachel. The audience member wants to know, can they take the reviews that they receive on their Facebook page and use a service such as Bizarre Voice to syndicate them to its retail partners?
No, unfortunately, our syndication product only works if somebody has submitted a review through the Bizarre Voice platform. And that's for a myriad of reasons, mostly for authenticity, because retailers, our retail partners, know that we can ensure that that review is authentic and comes from an individual. It's also gone through our moderation process to ensure, you know, that we're meeting that retailer's moderation guidelines. So we only syndicate if it comes through us, but we do have a Facebook application in which ratings and reviews can sit within your Facebook environment, and it actually works, it's reciprocal to any content that's submitted on your site. So an example is if a review is submitted on your site, then it automatically gets pushed to the Facebook environment and vice versa. So if you find that you have a healthier community on Facebook and that's where folks really tend to engage with your brand, then that's a great opportunity to collect ratings and reviews from Facebook.
Okay. And then I'll wrap up. It looks like I have one last one for you, Marcus. Can you talk a little bit about the process internally for your company to get a user-generated content program or review program into place?
Okay, so the question was about how we first got buy-in internally to a ratings and reviews program. Is that correct?
Yes, sort of that internal process and getting the buy-in and then getting it off getting it live.
Okay, I think when it comes down to it, it's probably kind of marketing 101. If you have very clear strategies and objectives and your tactics ladder up to those, I think that, it becomes an easier conversation. I think that especially if you don't utilize a word-of-mouth platform of any kind, there's some sensitivity to thinking about what conceivably consumers might say if you let them do that. I think that one of the ways that you can kind of assure that nothing will pass through the cracks is knowing that, anything that's negative or really inflammatory is going to get scrubbed out if it's offensive. But I think that, consumers, especially from a word-of-mouth perspective, really appreciate candid nature and honest nature. One of the benefits of having this word-of-mouth is the fact that it comes directly from the consumer, and there's a lot of benefits to that. And honestly, the type of things that you're going to see are not necessarily going to be as negative as you think that they could be.
So we're just about out of time for today. I want to take this opportunity to first thank our two speakers, Rachel Sharif of Bizarre Voice and Marcus Fong of Nestle Purina North America. On behalf of Retail Online Integration and Bizarre Voice, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. Lastly, if you would take just a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we'd be very grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. With that, I'd like to say thank you again, and I hope to see you all at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Have a great day, everyone.